Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hedy. I come to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotion.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel throughout the world. Check out the website, find some resources, hopefully that will deepen your walk with Christ, that will be edifying, uplifting, bring you joy, bring you knowledge, whatever it may be. Drop us a line, let us know. How you've enjoyed the content or suggestions for how we could change it. We love to hear from you. If you have a personal request, something we can help with, something we could pray for you for, we love to hear those too. And if this ministry blesses you in any way, you can partner with us by clicking the Donate Now button.
Yes. Make sure and comment to let us know what you think about the devotional, about what it is that we are talking about perhaps. And most importantly, let us know if you have any prayer requests, because towards the end of the show,
yes,
we will pray for any prayer requests that come through into the comments. If you're watching on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, but not X and not but Rumble, because we are on both those platforms, but those other ones, if you comment, we will see it. And if you're watching live, and then if you're watching the replay, you can still comment and we will eventually see it. But make sure and let us know what it is that you think about what's going on here. And if you have any prayer requests, the other thing is make sure and check out our sponsors. We have LifeWise, a great company. That's a Christ-centered company that has great supplemental products that help with sleep, inflammation,
beautification,
a number of other things. We have a great vitamin pack that's called The One, because it's the only one you will need for your vitamin supplements. Then try StreamYard. If you have a devotional maybe that you want to do, or you have a hobby you want to share with other people, or you just want to do maybe movie reviews, or talk about gardening, or talk about anything. I was trying to make sure that I didn't say anything really old.
Gardening, that's right. That's right. Contemporary.
Yes, because yeah. Our friend Karen does gardening. She should use StreamYard to
make a charcuterie board.
Oh, yeah. She definitely could do one on making charcuterie.
She made an Easter charcuterie board.
Yeah, it was amazing. Make sure and prepare in your Bible, Daniel 6, 7 through 10. Daniel 6, 7 through 10. We'll be talking about that bit of scripture in just a little bit. But for now, I'm going to be reading from A.W. Tozier, For the Christian Leader. And it's April 2nd today, right? Yep. And the date is At Home in the Prayer Chamber. And the reference is Daniel 6:10 that says, Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And he did aforetime.
As he did.
And as he did aforetime, yeah, also.
As he always did.
Yeah.
He did not change.
No, he just kept doing it over and over and over again. Thomas A. Kempis says that the man of God ought to be more at home in his prayer chamber than before the public. No man should stand before an audience who has not first stood before God. Many hours of communion should precede 1 hour in the pulpit. The prayer chamber should be more familiar than the public platform. Prayer should be continuous, preaching, but intermittent. Oh, okay. I stumbled on that the last time, but now it makes total sense. Prayer should be continuous,
right?
Like nonstop. And preaching should be intermittent, every right. So often.
Right.
I got it. All right. It is significant that the schools teach everything about preaching except the important part, praying. For this weakness, the schools are not to be blamed. For the reason that prayer cannot be taught, it can only be done. The best any school or any book or any article can do is to recommend prayer and exhort to its practice. Praying itself must be the work of the individual. That it is the one religious work which gets done with the least enthusiasm cannot be one of the tragedies of our times.
Cannot but be one of the greatest tragedies ever. In other words, it's a big tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, I pray today that I might more and more be at home in my prayer chamber. Help me to pray with a deeper commitment and greater enthusiasm.
Amen.
It's a good prayer. May I pray with greater enthusiasm and a deeper commitment.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
No.
How is today's devotional different than yesterday's devotional? If you remember what it was yesterday.
I do. I think it's just continuing on the importance of prayer.
Is it another take? Another take,
the prayer chamber. We didn't talk about the prayer chamber yesterday, meaning that it should be something that you're continually doing at home. So he called our attention to the importance of prayer, and now he's saying it's continuous prayer and prayer at home that should be the foundational hallmark of a good preacher.
And why can't we blame the schools? Shouldn't the professors at Biola College or what's the other one that's nearby?
Well, I mean, they can teach you that you must pray, but I mean, it can't really teach you how to pray. I mean, even in the Bible, it says, paraphrasing, that the Lord said, do not pray by mindless repetition. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not supposed to just repeat the same prayers over and over again. So what are they really going to teach you? They can't teach you the heart of prayer. That's something about developing a relationship with God. Oh my God, I got so blurry there for a second. Am I blurry, folks? Kids. I was calling you kids. I feel very blurry. We're playing with a brand new camera.
Yeah. We just zoomed it in a little bit, so it looks like it may have gone out of focus just a little bit. But
yeah.
But we'll continue talking. Where were we?
I was talking about praying and how they can't teach prayer.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting out of this devotional is that the prayer comes with your relationship with God.
Absolutely.
That your desire to want to talk to him personally, or as the leader of a church, to talk to him would you be talking to him for your congregants?
Both.
Or and also being a good example to them that you are going to prayer.
It shouldn't often be something for show, because that's also something we're admonished against in the Bible, which is like, don't stand there like the rabbis on a corner preaching for show. You know, it shouldn't be a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he mentions, I think, also the prayer chamber, because that's something we do in the secret place at home.
Right. Carrie says that everything is blurry. Oh, because her eyesight. Now,
Carrie, are you referring to our broadcast or your eyesight?
Our eyesight. Because I almost went.
It all looks a little blurry to me too.
I almost got up there and changed everything really quick, but I think she's talking about, because she put a bunch of smiley faces, laughing faces.
Saying hello to Carrie. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Kate. And Kate saying she chats with the Lord throughout the day. I totally agree. That's one of my favorite practices. And Jan. Hello, Jan.
Nice to see you.
And then Kate said it's her eyesight. Carrie.
So I'm trying to figure out, because let's talk about Pastor Jack Hibbs. When we watch him on television or go there, we feel his love for God through his just through his words and his references to his feelings towards God as he's reading. Like when he reads scripture, he just gets like, oh wow, this. Did you hear what he just said here? So he still gets amazed at the word of God. He prays at the beginning and then prays at the end.
Yes.
Should he be praying in between? I'm not sure. What is the difference between preaching, sharing the parts of the Bible that are relevant to what it is that he's speaking about on that day? How does prayer fit in? Are they saying they should be more than at the end than in the beginning and at the end?
Oh, no. He's not referring to while you're preaching. He's saying prayer should be continuous, preaching intermittent. But he means in the life of a believer, not in one sermon.
Okay. Well, because in my mouth, I'm looking at the title. This is for Christian leaders.
Right. Prayer, you're like meaning, but you thought that he meant during the sermon, prayer should be continuous. No. That's not what he means.
Oh.
He means prayer should be the fundamental practice of any preacher, and then occasionally you get up and speak.
Oh, God, I'm glad you're here. Because I'm trying to think, I go, how would it just be praying? Like you just
that would be silly. No. And he's saying praying itself must be the work of the individual. Mm. So it's significant. They teach everything about preaching except the important part, which is praying. But this is all about a personal discipline that he's referring to. That's why Thomas Kempis says the man of God ought to be more at home in his prayer chamber, which is a secret place at home, than before the public. So this is not about what happens when he's giving a sermon. It's all about what happens behind the scenes.
Hmm. What's Denise saying there? Hello, Denise Keenum.
Hello, Denise.
Keenum.
Is there a difference in praying as in starting with Heavenly Father and just a talk where you would just start talking to him, like holding a conversation? You know, Denise, that's a very good question, because I actually recall one of our pastors. I don't know if it's Pastor Jack or Pastor Bob, who was like, yes, it's great. And it actually really got me thinking, because he said, it's great that you talk to the Lord throughout the day, but you should also be intentional about prayer. So Pastor Bob is big on creating a prayer time. It's actually a whole section in the church's app. And so he says, like, this is a subjective opinion, that the setting aside of a specific prayer time is important, because you get in the habit of not just speaking to God, but listening to God. And there's five steps to it. There's praise, there's worship, there's gratitude, there's asking, and then there's listening. And so he says that when you methodically, and I have to believe he's right, that when you methodically go through that process, it will really deepen your relationship with the Lord, as opposed to just intermittently speaking to him throughout the day. Because I get you. I am also one of those that talks to God throughout the day. And it's much harder to get in the discipline of praying.
Very cool. Kevin says hello.
Hey, Kevin. Good evening from Garden City, Michigan. Actually, Kevin, you'll laugh, because I thought of you when I got a message on my Facebook page about somebody from my old life in Fenton, Michigan, who was like, hey, weren't you a Sufi Muslim a minute ago? And I was like, yes, I was. And he referenced the place where I used to stay in Fenton. So it made me laugh, because then I thought of Kevin being like, yeah, half an hour away from Fenton, Michigan. And Denise says, I do both, but I find myself talking to him all throughout the day, and that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Can you please also pray for my three adult children? They refuse Jesus in a nasty way. I'm so sorry to hear that. Absolutely will add your children to our prayer list tonight.
Denise. Three adult children.
Okay. Carrie says, sometimes it is just dear Father, and I listen in the word, because some days I am just in a daze. Yep.
Days of confusion.
Days of confusion.
That's Pastor Jack Hibbs' book.
And I think we did those. And Lisa says, yes. Carrie says, I pray all day as I go through my day. And Lisa says, Carrie, yes, me the same. Ugh. And Lisa's waving hi. Hi.
I'm still at the stage where I have to consciously stop.
Oh, really?
Yes. I would say may there on occasion there'll be just a time where I'll just say, oh God, can you just help me through this thing?
Maybe we need to make life a little more difficult for you. Because surely you would do it more often. Probably. If it were.
Yeah.
Because I do it at least once an hour.
No. I pray to him while I'm trying to do a plank. I have like a 1 minute plank.
What?
Yes, and my cross is like dangling in my face because I'm in the plank position. And then I love you, God. Please just get me through this 60 seconds. I just need your help.
I can't believe you've publicly,
to keep me strong.
You've publicly admitted to this.
I do throw in some other stuff, but I just said, you know, this is just my time to spend with you. And he knows. He's not, I don't think he looks at me in that, you know, at that time and say, is this the only time you talk to me? Is when you don't think you're going to make it through the 60 seconds in a plank position? Because then I say, I know that you think this is only when I talk to you, but it's a good opportunity. It gets my mind off the pain that I'm feeling in my elbows.
But you don't, all you ask him for is to get through that. You don't pray for the kids. And
I do.
Oh, okay.
And I say, make me stronger, make me a better person. Help me through the things that make me curse other people.
Yeah, see, this is Carrie's good question. You never call 911? Yeah, isn't that weird? That's what I told him. We need to make his life a little more difficult.
I know.
He needs a little more get down on your knees kind of praying.
Not a lot.
And you find this funny that we actually live in the same house and I am on my knees at least once an hour.
Well, I had a question for you. This may not have nothing to do with the devotional, but it has with our conversation.
Okay.
So because you brought it up back when we were getting our house ready to have the floor changed.
Yes.
Carpet pulled out and old flooring pulled out and then new flooring pulled out. And leading up to that, you were not in a good way. And I, you know, I was very careful not to say,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's
wrong? No, I knew exactly what was wrong. And so I just said, is there anything I can do to help? What do you need done? And then, we just went through it. And so the people that came in and did the work, lickety split, and they did extra stuff and moved for and did all kinds of stuff. And then it's done. And so my question is, after that, do you ever think like, what was I doing being so, do you ever get like reflect on how it made you so kind of stressed out?
I do. I am reflective.
You know, see, I worried all for nothing.
I'm not blind to the fact that I could be a spaz. I am very self-aware. Actually, not only am I so self-aware after, as I'm going through it, I'm praying, Lord, why am I so agitated? Lord, I know this is going to go fine.
Yeah.
I want to not be agitated. I would have been so much more agitated if I didn't have the Lord. That was me unagitated. Yes.
Because I'm afraid, I don't even want to say, look, the Lord has, this is fine. When again, I don't want to say all the things that I would have, that it's going on in my head, because that is not helpful to you.
No.
It's not helpful for me to say those things.
No. But I mean, let's be fair. Yes. I was very much on top of it. Me and Memo were going through all the details repeatedly.
Yeah.
He was going to put some random weirdo colored caulking around the edge. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I made myself available. He's like, oh yeah, this doesn't really match. Should we call the company? I'm like, yes, we're going to, that does not match. Please don't do that. And then I slipped him a 50 to move the furniture back because they were about to leave.
Yeah.
You know, but I brought, I had them fill three rooms back up with furniture. Yeah. So
that 50 spot brought him lickety split back in the house.
And, can you imagine if we had to do that all ourselves back again? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was at least we had four guys to whatever. Like. But the crux of the story is I am a spaz and I'm a work in progress.
No, but I mean, so that's the kind of thing that I don't have the 911s of stuff. I feel like maybe there's something wrong with me. Is there something? There's something wrong with me.
Well, I mean, you are of people I've known in my life. Mm-hmm. You are the least worried. The only similarity I can draw is my father, who literally worried about absolutely nothing. Like if I didn't have a father like that, I wouldn't understand you.
Mm.
But it is not. I don't think it's as common to be that laissez-faire, even for men.
Is that French?
Yeah, laissez-faire, like whatever happens.
Que sera, sera.
Yes, whatever shall be.
Well, my mom worried about everything, and it used to drive me crazy. And so I think that's
God gave you a wife just like your mom.
I mean, everything. Like, oh my gosh, mom. remember a cat got hit by a car and it survived the hit, but it only got as far as to the top of our driveway and died. And she would leave the house. She called my dad, who was working in Paramount, which we lived in La Mirada, which is a good 40-minute drive, something like that, 30-minute drive with traffic. And he had to drive all the way home to get rid of the cat. And she was like in the house pacing.
Oh, because she didn't want to come outside.
She wanted to come outside. And it was like a whole thing. So that's an example of like, to get home because this cat died in the driveway and I'm not going outside. I'm not walking past that cat.
Sounds like something Ray would do.
I was at home. I was at school. I was like, what, 5 years old or something.
Carrie says, I've noticed that we women are so quick to assess our involvement in a situation, but husbands not so much.
No.
Exactly. Yes, very much so. Men are really much better at laissez-faire attitudes than women are.
Yeah. All right, let's read the scripture. Daniel 6.
This is the wonderful story of Daniel in the den of the lions, but this is before he goes into the den. So we're going to start with 7. And this is where all the satraps and the governors are just so jealous of him because the king loves him and he's so talented. So they devise a scheme where they want to do this statute where it will definitely trap Daniel into disobedience. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. So Daniel went home and was like, that's what I think of your decree. I love that. And then they went back and they tattletaled on him and he's like, okay, send me in the den with the lions. And guess what? The lions didn't eat him. And then King Darius felt very guilty.
I'm not sure that I've ever heard about the Medes before.
Yeah, the Medes and the Persians were the dynasties back then. The Medes no longer exist.
Iranian.
They refer to them as the ancient Iranian people, but they don't exist as a nation separate anymore.
They spoke the Median language. They have an area known as Media.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating?
Who knew? Medes. The Medes and the Persians.
Right? Yes.
Interesting.
Lisa said, the Holy Spirit taught me how to pray. He highlighted things to me in the Bible. Amen. He guides my prayers as I write them out. It is an active practice. I love that, Lisa. Kate says, I usually say something like, how do you reckon we should deal with this one, Lord? That's sweet. I like that. I have noticed, thanks Lisa for the great feedback.
Interesting. Yeah, so I have to stop and really think about praying. And I definitely want to change that. I like that you on a continuous basis have these conversations. I walk into a room, I'll see you with your hands clasped together, your eyes closed, and I go, how do you just do that? Like, what's happening? Like, did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble?
Probably.
And I just go, gosh, I get jealous that you have such a close conversation, a close relationship that you think about that practice constantly. Probably because I never did that to my parents. You would call your mom every day.
Yes.
I never did that either. I have no friends that I call every day.
No, I'm lucky you answer my texts every day.
Who's the first one to text you every morning?
Yes.
Don't give me that.
Really dark. Something happened to the screen.
I don't see the text. we zoomed it in.
But that changed the color too. We suddenly like the whole thing looks like we're in a stormy cloud.
I don't know. We can get rid of this and this will help. Maybe that this is not there. Gives us more.
I think when we back up, it gets brighter.
Yeah. Let me just move the lens back just a little bit. We're going to do this on the fly.
Ooh, that got brighter when you got up too.
My shirt's a light color.
Okay.
Yeah, my shirt's a light color. I know I brought the line in over here again, I know, but
yeah.
It's just,
we were trying to get rid of all the stuff in the background, the cords and stuff, which our producers over at Real Life think is a little unprofessional.
We'll fix that. Oh, you just got to raise your hand. Just hold your hand here like this. Hold your right hand up. Your right hand. And move it to the right more. There. Now just keep it there. Now they won't see it.
Hello.
You know, I got to, is it okay if I pivot?
Pivot.
Yeah. Something that was on my mind. I don't know if I told you this.
Oh.
But, you know, the 6 o'clock class. Did I mention that? The 6 o'clock class that I went to on Monday.
Yes, the devil started to distract you from your Bible reading. I think everybody remembers that class.
Yeah. So I wake up at 4:30, though, so I can do my Bible reading and then go to class, which I did. But then I get there for the 6 o'clock class. So I walk in at about 5:45. And when I walk in, the guy at the desk says, you know, we got to find somebody to teach that class that you're in.
Again?
I go, Nix. And he goes, Nix. He just woke up and he doesn't live. It's going to take him a half hour to get.
Wait, didn't this happen yesterday too?
This
was yesterday.
Well, Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but that's not like the first time. He has an issue with tardiness.
Yes.
and not being there on time. And so I knew I had to talk to him. Because, you know, I mean, I don't like tardiness. I don't like,
no.
Especially when I pay the amount of money I do for him to be my trainer. But Kelly was there. Kelly shows up. And Kelly got to see me lecture somebody other than him, one of the other kids.
You must have loved that.
So I put my hand on Nick, and Nick is, 30 something, maybe 35, something like that. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Nick, you know, I love you. And he goes, I know. And I go, okay, then I need to be, you want, if I love you, then I need to be honest with you. I said, you need to be on time for your job. You need to show up and you need to be on time and you need to understand that the people, when they pay money, they expect you to be there. Now your clients, they can be flaky. But you cannot.
Yeah.
And he's sharing to me that he is like number one in the nation. I was telling you in customers. I said, I'm proud of you and I'm so happy that you have all the success,
but it will
go away because it's one thing to get the clients. It's another thing to keep them.
Right.
I said, you will not keep your clients and you will fail. And next thing you know, you'll be gone if you don't show up on time. I said,
you said all of that. Yeah.
And I said, people only tolerate you being late so long. And then
say?
And he's like, he looked at me like Kelly looks at me. Like Kelly stares at my eyes when I talk to him and he's like staring right in my face. He's like this far away from me, staring right in my eyes. And he's like, okay, I get it. I understand. I said, okay. I'm just want to let you know. I said, I've owned a lot of businesses. I've had up to 400 employees. So I know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
I said, you will be gone if somebody complains. And he goes, I get it. I understand. I said, okay. That's all.
But no apology.
No, he hugged.
Okay.
He hugged me and said, thank you.
Okay.
So, but the interesting thing was that Kelly was standing like, he was working out, but you could see him like looking to see like, wow.
My dad does this to everyone.
I thought it was just me.
he gives dad talks to strangers.
Tattooed guys that have shiny fingernails and wear pink suits.
I love it.
So he got the talk. He got the Andy talk.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. He earned it. He really did.
I can't imagine how if he was your trainer and he did that to you. Like you'd get up and you'd be there at 5:45 in the morning to expect them to be there and you didn't show up.
Some rear end.
Oh yeah, you would have.
I would.
I kind of would like to see that.
I would have been pissed. But then again, I wouldn't have a trainer that doesn't show up.
It's true.
I really wouldn't.
I don't know what it is about me, that happens a lot.
I would have fired him the first time that happened.
I think it's the nice. They just think that you're so nice that, you know, I can always change his schedule. They always try to change my. He always tries to change my schedule.
Like, do you mind if I move that? I stop going to somebody when they do that.
Yeah.
They do. They eventually do it.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, that was such a pivot, folks. Carrie has a prayer request. Surgery April 17th, but only if I can get help because I have to be face down 7 days after surgery while being awake. So the cataract surgery, you're awake? My mom was out. Why are you awake?
No, I've heard that a lot. But I
really?
Yeah, there's certain brain types of brain surgery that you have to stay awake.
My brother did one once with the probe thing in his eye. He said it was literally, it's the scariest thing he's ever done in his entire life.
Mm.
And then the doctor tried to do the other eye. He's like, no, we're not doing that again. He couldn't
just
do
out of the
other
fright,
eye.
Not because of the pain.
Yeah, no, it was too weird, too crazy, too creepy.
Doesn't he believe in God?
Yeah.
Fear is a sin.
I don't know what Allah says about that.
He's a leader of his faith, and he's so afraid that he didn't do the other eye.
He didn't do the other eye. It's not, this fixing hole thing. I think that's what my brother had. Mm. It's not cataract. It's fixing a hole in the macula. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Mm. We're definitely praying for that, Carrie.
What
that sounds very
help,
scary.
Is it mean like a home nurse type of thing or?
I think she's talking about, are you saying you need help? Is it for you or you need help for Eddie? Because you're going to be face down for 7 days.
Mm.
And Kate is talking about the prayer. She's saying women are more verbal. Andy, our relationship with God is uniquely between him and us. No format can replace chatting with him.
Mm.
And they put 3 metal shots in the eye. And she is worried about Eddie.
Okay.
So it has a 7-day recovery time? And you're awake?
Does it feel like you have sand in your eye too? I'm wondering.
Yeah, like are you awake? If you're awake and then you have 7 days that it takes to recover,
they put a shunt in your eye.
Oh my god, shunts.
I don't know.
I'm terrified.
Bad. Whatever it is, it sounds bad.
I'm very terrified, Carrie.
Like shunts to keep your eyelids open, so
Yeah, I think that's what my mom was saying. That's what my brother was saying. It was so terrifying is that he couldn't close his eyes and they were opening. He just saw this thing go.
Oh, that's like a scary movie. Yeah. It's like a scary
movie.
My
brother was a horror flick master, you know? So he's like, this is God's punishing me for all those horror movies I watched. Yes, 7 days, 3 shunts for inserting the surgical tools.
Mm.
How about Valium, Carrie? Can you take some Valium before you go there? Oh my goodness.
So just back to Kate's comment there that about no format replaces chatting with him. You guys just like to chat though. I mean, that's a woman thing too.
That's a woman thing too, yes.
Hmm. But I want to chat with him more.
But there's no reason why you can't.
I know, but I just...
And by the way, Pastor Jack describes it, he chats with God too.
Yeah, well, that's Jack.
No, but meaning is he's a man. So men do it. It's not just women.
And if
it's,
you notice, he's natural. Looking more and more manly every day.
Right.
He's got that whole beard thing going on.
Everybody at my gym today was like, what's with Jack and the beard? I'm like, what am I, the barber?
I like it.
Yeah, you either love it or you hate it.
He kind of looks, there's a dog that he kind of looks like, he reminds me of, that has like the fur around their face like this. And that's what he looked like to me the other day.
Oh, no.
I love that guy. We haven't got a date yet for
Jesus.
Our next interview.
Oh, did she respond?
She did, but she said, okay, I got it. We'll be looking for some dates. And that's the last thing I heard.
Oh.
But that happened last time, too. I just got to keep
emailing her. Jesus would have just put mud in your eye, Carrie. Oh, those were the days.
Spitting it.
Right? Says, I hate the beard. Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
I like the beard.
I hope he doesn't
What's
take a poll about the beard because it'll go.
What's wrong with me? I like the beard.
I don't know.
What if Lisa likes it?
And Carrie says she's usually brave, but she's really worried about this. Rightfully so, Carrie.
Mm.
Xanax. Xanax also helps.
Pray about it, Carrie.
No need for face fur if you have a sweet face.
I think he's getting ready for war.
Does that count you out?
You know, for the playoffs in hockey, that's one thing. You don't shave during the playoffs of hockey if you're a hockey player.
Well, either do the Navy SEALs when they go into Afghanistan.
So I think that's what Jack's getting ready for. He realizes we're getting ready for battle.
Oh.
I think that's what it is. That's a signal. That's the signal to us Christian nationalists.
You're going to try to... Oh my God. You guys don't know how many interviews of commentary on Candace Owen I have watched in the past. I have hours and hours of videos. And I was telling Andy before we went on, I think my most annoying one was Charlie Kirk's, actually, because he just kept ranting about how Christ is King is not anti-Semitic. And I was like, Andy, it's just like, I had a friend who had white power written on his arms and he was proceeding to tell me that it's not racist. And I was like, you have white power tattooed on your arms. Like, how is that not racist? And he's like, well, we were kids and we were just like, it was our little group and that's how we distinguished ourselves. It's like, you could turn anything. You could turn a kitchen knife into a weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the context of the words. Of course Christ is King. Of course we believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if you say in the midst of an argument, Christ is King in order to shut the person up, or weaponizing scripture by calling somebody's attention to you cannot serve two masters, money or God, as if their behavior, for example, if we got in a fight and I sent you scripture that said, be from James, I believe it's James 1, be slow to speak, quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. Would you not read into that it was connected to our fight? It would be my way of saying, you know, you shouldn't have gotten so angry at me. And she's like, how dare you read yourself into scripture? You're in the middle of an argument and you cite scripture. Of course the person's going to read into the scripture. Otherwise, why are you citing that piece of scripture? You know what I mean? Don't you agree?
I agree.
So it's just like, and then all of these people coming to the defense that Christ is King is not anti-Semitic. Nobody said the three words in and of themselves are anti-Semitic, but directed at a Jewish person in response to an argument in retaliation to a comment is anti-Semitic. You know, I mean, and we can have differing viewpoints about that for sure, but it's not innocuous. It's not innocuous to say to somebody, it's the same comment that people make often in reference to Jewish people. This is the dichotomy in the Christian world. Well, the Jews killed Jesus. Is that comment inherently anti-Semitic? The Jews, as a factual matter, did kill Jews.
You don't use it as a dig.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Jews killed Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Muhammad's a pedophile.
Doesn't matter whether the factual accuracy of the statement, it's inappropriate.
Well, as far as couples are concerned, you don't want to use the Bible as a weapon in conversation.
Right.
That you're bastardizing the Bible. Use it as a...
But you shouldn't do it to a friend either.
Right.
Or a colleague.
And the Jews are our friends.
And the Jews, that was her colleague.
Yes.
That she said it to. Mm. You can't serve money and God at the same time. That's
a dig.
That's a dig,
that's
man.
That's a...
I don't know how you want to. It's just scripture. Yeah, it's just scripture, but you used it as a weapon.
It's like the joke, the old joke. You know the old joke of the Jewish cars that they make now? They stop on a dime and pick it up.
Why? Why?
Oh my gosh, I just made myself.
Kate says, haha, how do you really feel about it, Hedia? Love your passion. I am so riled up over this topic. Well, because as I said last night, it just drives me, it worries me because I feel like it has very significant consequences, government-wise, national security-wise, the whole domestic terrorism issue, the whole categorization of Christian nationalism. It really feeds into this narrative that we are exclusionary and bigoted, and it really does nothing for our cause. And I just wish everybody who's trying to defend her would stop, because it's making it worse.
Thank you, Denise.
Denise is like, Gary says, I agree, Hedia. It is an insult to Jews, and thank God the Jews did, because where would the Gentiles be? Good point.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, I had something for you.
Denise says, I agree 100%.
Yes.
Thank you, Denise. I know people definitely don't agree, because there's a bunch of people on the internet who do not agree, and a bunch of famous podcasters and people coming out saying that, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I don't know. I think it's going to continue to unravel this, the right. And I'm sure that the left is loving watching us tear each other to shreds.
Yeah, because we love it when they do that to themselves too.
Right.
Like what's happening with the Palestinian issue.
Right.
The Democrat Muslims. Democrat Muslims. Then you have the Jews that are divided in the same issues.
Right.
Yeah. So I really enjoy that when that happens.
World's chaos right now.
Yeah.
Denise says some of them are just too big for their britches. Exactly. Lack humility. Lack wisdom. You know, wisdom is different than intellect. And there's a sense of wisdom that also comes from age. And so I had mentioned once on a previous broadcast, we had an expression in DC that was called don't be a blue flame, which is you shoot real high, real fast, and then you die out because you either step in it or you just make poor choices. And I feel like some of these, you know, influencers that gained fame, I mean, let's be honest, Candace and Charlie's fame came from Trump. Mm-hmm. They had nothing before Trump.
Yep.
And so now they have this ginormous amount of influence and platform. And I just don't think they often have wisdom that comes from age, from experience, because they're young. You can be really smart and you can be very clever and charismatic at a very young age. But I think wisdom often takes time.
Yep, absolutely. So just, this is related. I know it may not sound related, but.
Yes, thank you, Denise.
You know, I'm very much into this election that's coming up. We are trying to find school board members to run and making sure that the ones who are running again, you know, we're preparing them and that kind of stuff. And there's a whole bunch of issues that the progressives in our area, the union reps and leaders, the teachers unions, they're just throwing all kinds of chaos. What is what they do, right? They throw as many things out there that teachers are being fired, the administrators are being fired, staff is being fired, that it's a bloodbath in the school district, that there's all these things that are happening, none of which is true. And so I've been making videos about it and making sure they understand. Here are the real numbers. 3 years ago, 12 principals didn't have their contracts renewed. And this time we only have two not getting their contracts renewed. That is not, you know, chaos.
Right.
Zero teachers are being fired. And so I'm making these videos. But right now I'm the hottest topic in these liberal Facebook groups that are, you know, private groups. I get all their people. We have trolls. We have people inside. We have moles on the inside. And they're taking screenshots and sending them to me. But it's all about Andy. And they're taking videos of mine now. And they're on their third video that they've cut up. And
the Fairly Odd Parent?
No, it's my more recent ones saying that I'm lying. And I go, how could I be lying about the superintendent going in the newspaper and saying zero teachers are going to be fired? Like, what? How do you turn that into a video that I'm lying? But they twist my words and try to make it sound that way. But but back to the point is that I have to be very careful more than ever to make sure that I'm really thinking through. So what I do now is I record a video. I send it to, you know, a couple of people like, okay, can you watch this? And tell me if you see anything that sounds funny or messed up or that kind of stuff. So I got a group of parents that, you know, run through it and will tell me if you know, redo it. So I've had to redo a video. Because maybe I skipped over something like that.
Nice.
So these are the things that are so important as we're going into this time. And Candace is one of those people. You have to be so careful. And I know what she's saying. She's saying, I'm so smart. I'm so terrific.
And double down.
What I said is what I said. And you just need to listen to it. And she's so not doing kind of like what I know I need to do on occasion is go, you know what? I may have said the wrong thing. Let me fix that. Let me tweak that and make it better.
Humility.
Point. Yeah, but it's
and sometimes
so important.
Humility comes with age. You've been knocked down a couple pedestals, you know, off of a couple pedestals to learn what it means to be humble.
I don't mind. I mean, a friend of mine named Karen, she'll read something and watch the video and she goes, you know, she'll tell me, you know, you may need to change this or that. A lot of it has to do with, I know this, you'll find this shocking, but I misspelled something. Or I'll put a comma where there's not supposed to be a comma. She catches those too. She's my Hedia when it comes to those kind of comments. But it's so important. You gotta slow down.
Slow down.
You gotta be reflective. Is that the right word? Reflective.
Absolutely.
On what it is you're saying and say, you know what?
I meant
to say this, but I understand how people could take it this other way. And let me retract that.
I'm in the habit since DC to not write anything that I don't expect splattered on the front page of a newspaper. Mm. So that's also another important habit.
Yep.
Which you guys in your Signal group do not do. Mm. So I always wonder if that's going to come back to some of you.
The stuff in the Signal group?
Yeah. Because just like you guys screenshot everything, you have no idea who's screenshotting what. So every conversation that's in writing should expect it to be on the front page of a newspaper.
Mm. Yeah.
That way you never regret. It's a lesson I tried teaching Zara, but she doesn't appear to listen to that either. As you know, kids don't listen, but still, it's good practice. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Hmm. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. And Jan says, Andy, you are very well known in this community. Even my hairdresser told me she knows who you are. That's really cute.
I do see more looks when I walk into places now than I did before. People will go, wait, they'll do this thing.
Okay. And Carrie says, amen. Bible says, while getting knowledge, get some wisdom. Mm. Amen. And of all the things that Solomon prayed for, he prayed for wisdom.
Yep. All right. How about our prayer request list?
Ready to go.
Do you have any? Do you have any that you can think of people that have reached out to you or maybe, for yourself maybe? Or
absolutely.
What are they? I want to know ahead of time.
You want to know ahead of time?
Yeah, I want to make sure you don't forget.
Okay. Well, I am... I always like to pray for my friend that's recovering from cancer and from a double mastectomy, because that's always brutal. And that's it for the ladies and their conditions. I know what they are for the most part, other than Carrie's very scary eye surgery.
I would like to pray for you to add Nick to their prayer that he
wisdom
get his act together, set his alarm
right.
No, just that he gets, you know, wiser.
Yeah, wisdom.
I hate for him to throw away all the success that he is getting, because it'll go away really quickly.
Oh, and for Kate's brother Paul, is he? What are we praying for him, Kate? Is it coming to faith or was it sickness? I believe you've asked us to pray for him once before.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
You could tell me. I'll start praying. Sometimes it takes Kate a while to respond.
He has to come all the way from Australia.
Yeah. dear Lord, we love you. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It is such an amazing, we're coming off of a wonderful time of celebrating your death, burial, and resurrection. And we're excited for our resurrected lives, Lord, that you've given us a new spirit and we have the opportunity to transform our existence while we're here on earth, Lord, to hear your voice, to be cogent and thoughtful in our prayer life with you, that we call you to mind and have you in conversation, and that we are intentional about our prayers, that we're more diligent and enthusiastic about praying to you, knowing that you are not only the creator of the universe, but you have your living Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and that you're so close to us that we could be in conversation, that you are relational, and we should take advantage of that relationship. It is such a gift. Thank you, Lord, for faith Thank you for good health and for provision without measure, Lord. We ask and we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in their time of need as they're going through healing. Carrie has this very difficult surgery coming up, Lord. And so we ask for you to give her ease and comfort and just courage during that. It sounds tremendously difficult, Lord. So we ask that you make it easy because you are able to make anything easy. It is the cure that's in your hands. You are Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. We love you and we thank you in advance for what you will do. We also pray for Paul, Kate's brother, Lord, that we that he finds healing. He's got terrible cancer, Lord, and he's suffering. And we ask for your healing hand upon his life. And we also ask for Denise's three older children who are far from you, Lord, that have seemed to turn their back on you, Lord. But we know that you can awaken any of us, Lord. And we ask that you call them to faith, that you bring them to their knees, that they realize that you are the one true God. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes for our children to bow the knee in this life, Lord, we're willing to go through that. We trust you, Lord. Your promises are true. And we give them into your care, Lord. And we ask for you to save them and redeem them. Everyone else that's suffering, Lord, of an illness, we ask for restoration and for healing. And for those that are suffering from joblessness or financial difficulties, Lord, we ask that you send them provision without measure. And that you continue to bless us and use us as your servants, as the army of Christ, Lord. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Lisa says, when you have people who are very sharp-witted minds, they can clash. People need to be more humble, all of them. So true.
It's
a Clash of the Titans. It reminds me of the Transformers movie where they're like, it's big metal thing. You're like, let me just slow down a little. Just slow down. And like Ben now says, smell the grass. Just go outside, smell the grass. It's like it made me laugh. It's a funny expression. And he said that was beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Denise. Love you guys.
God bless you.
See you again soon. God bless.
Take care. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.